of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, joined by your Alliance Council Secretary, Cameron Collins.
Hey.
And Alliance Council extraordinaire and Seattle soccer community guru, Nicholas Biela. What's up, gentlemen?
Why, hello there. Good to hear your voice. Good to see your face.
Yeah, I missed the last one. Thank you guys for doing that. Yeah, but here I am, excited to talk. I basically haven't been able to talk about Club World Cup with either of you on or off mic. And yeah, I want to talk about that. You guys were there. Obviously, I've been watching down here from San Diego. And so, yeah, let's get to it. But first, let's drink some beverages.
That sounds like a great idea. It's really hot here.
Yep. I have to unzip my cooler.
Your pants?
That was what the dramatic pause was for, and make you think that. So I only have one beverage today. Well, alcoholic beverage. It's the last of the White Claws. Because it's hot down here, too.
More than hot, it was humid today. Like, 85 is hot for Seattle, but the humidity made
85.
It not fun.
Yeah. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. Okay. It was actually pretty humid for down here, which normally doesn't get humid at all. It was roasting. Cotton suit right on the coast. I guess it could be worse. But anyway, so what do you want to get into first? Should we talk Club World Cup?
Yeah.
Sounders just won against Austin 2-0. We'll obviously get to that. It's been a minute since we've all talked. Any other news out there?
Well, why don't we start with a little bit of we got a lot to kind of cover today. It might be more.
We do.
A lot of things have happened since our last call. We've had two more Club World Cup games. We've had a league game. We've watched some.
I don't care about all that stuff. I want to talk about what's going on in the Club World Cup outside of the Sounders games. The Sounders games were actually the worst part of the Club World Cup.
Yeah, and I wasn't even present, so yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I had a great time.
Oh, no, it was great, but I enjoyed the non-Sounders games so much more. But Man City went down today.
So did Inter.
Yep, to Flamengo. Man City went down to Al Hilal 4-3.
Fluminense.
What? Oh, Fluminense, that's right. Flamengo, unfortunately, lost yesterday.
Yeah, they lost to Bayern.
But there's this narrative around the Club World Cup that I keep seeing from people who have had a bad opinion from the beginning of it, who are just saying like, this is a farce, this entire tournament. And I'm like,
you haven't watched the game.
No one's taking it seriously. I'm like, you don't think those Inter Milan players were taking that seriously? Did you watch how upset they were when they lost? Did you see how excited, not just Fluminense, but I mean, the woman they showed in the crowd who was just bawling when they scored the second goal to win. Like, this has been an incredible tournament. And we saw a fight that broke out at Lemon Field.
Oh, this was great. Yeah, we'll talk about this.
It is years in the making.
Yeah.
It started
at the World Cup.
Yeah, at the World Cup, yeah. So, the real World Cup. So, it's been...
Wait, the real World Cup? Was that with like Puck and Tech?
Yes.
And
yes. And remember they had to kick off David because he slapped that lady?
Yeah, that's right. So it was like Seattle versus Hawaii versus New York versus San Francisco.
God, you guys and you're just obscure.
That is not obscure to anyone who is our age.
The Real World.
What was it? What was it?
The MTV World. Oh, the Real World. Yes.
Real World New York. Yeah. Real World. I mean, those were some of the biggest shows on TV.
It's the Real
World. Puck was in the Seattle one.
The Real World. Right? No, Puck was San Francisco.
San Francisco. He was on the second season.
Who was the guy that slapped the chick out at the waterfront?
David.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I used to listen. I was home.
The '90s.
It was summer 99 when they were here because I was home and I would listen to their radio show without realizing that they were from the Real World. And then later when they actually aired it, they would do that. That was the one summer I came home. But yeah, Club World Cup has been tremendous. I mean, people are like, well, no one's attending. It's like, well, every single game in Seattle, but one had 50,000.
And ironically, the one game that didn't was one of the top energized matches.
Yeah.
You know, the Red Diamonds versus River Plate.
Yep. Yeah. And
announced crowd of like 11,000, but it sounded like 30,000 to 40,000.
Yeah. And it's the thing is, sure, it's a money. Like, we don't like that the players aren't getting paid. The whole problem with this tournament was they
update on that. But go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole problem was that the prices were too much to begin with. FIFA overshot it and didn't properly advertise this tournament. And this is completely on FIFA. If they had made it reasonably priced and hyped it up like one would the World Cup, these games would have all been filled. I mean, look at the USA. Mm-hmm. Who did USA play in the last group stage game of Gold Cup?
Gold Cup.
I mean, that game was in Nashville or Austin. Either way, a soccer city, and it was completely empty because tickets were going for $150 to $200. Like, of course no one's paying $200 to go see the C team of the USA when there's other stuff going on. Like, it's ridiculous. And yeah, thankfully USA squeaked by Costa Rica on penalties. Matt Fries has made himself the permanent starter moving forward. Absolutely incredible on penalties. So, but man, this Club World Cup has been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I went to all six games. Roma went to five of the six. During the Atletico match, there was a guy behind me from Buenos Aires, and I gave him one of my scarves, and we just kind of connected. And
he flew up from Buenos Aires?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So shout out to Gonzalo. We became friends. We started going to all the games together. And then we did a nice jersey swap. So I've got some.
Does that mean you guys hooked up or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what jersey swap means.
Yeah. I mean, I got some fun stuff here.
Little.
That's pretty cool.
Magenta and maroon jersey from River Plate.
With the matching shorts.
Oh, full kit linker.
Those look like St. Louis shorts.
My God, is that another?
A warm up top, maybe?
River Plate? No, that's
another. That's another one of their home jerseys, and then their classic jersey as well.
Dude, hey, how many jerseys is? So he gave you three jerseys.
Three jerseys and a pair of shorts, pants. Yeah, and then red diamonds. I got.
And a scarf.
Yeah, a scarf.
That's cool.
Scarf from Red Diamond.
And you gave him a jersey.
No, I gave him a scarf, and then I basically gave him a selection of. I brought a whole bunch of stuff, and he chose. We started choosing one to one. So he took like a pair of training pants, a Space Needle jersey from the 2014 season. Mm-hmm. You know, some other stuff, some cool stuff.
What's interesting is they do not seem to wear scarves in those Argentinian teams. So there was no A, ability for us to exchange scarves, switch scarves with them. But then B, like when you asked him if he wanted scarves, he was like, yeah, but do you have t-shirts?
Yeah. Like, yes, I do. Like, no, really, Gonzalo. But no, it was a great time. As a matter of fact, the River Inter game was a little crazy because River ended up losing 2-0. There was the fight between Acuna and Dumfries at the end where they basically like raced each other to the locker room to try and get into a brawl into the tunnel, and like the rest of the team were like chasing them to try and hold them back. It was it was crazy.
There was a guy in my section who got kicked out because, well, first when the Dog So Red card came in on River Plate for Inter, he threw his cup of beer all over everyone in front of him, like straight up in the air. And then later when they scored their first goal, he spit up in the air and spit on everyone. Oh, and then his girlfriend ended up leaving because she was so annoyed with him. And then eventually the people next to him complained. And then when he was getting kicked out, someone was so angry at him that they threw a beer at his head. And then they got kicked out too. But it was interesting because my section was a bunch. I mean, I was sitting above the Inter fans. They were where the River Plate was sitting in the previous match. But there was a ton of River Plate fans, but they weren't down below where all the actual River fans were. These were South American fans rooting for River. So these were like, we're going to root for the South American team over the team from
Europe.
And so there was people from, I mean, all over South America, Central America. So I saw Honduras, I saw Guatemala, I saw Colombia, and they were all rooting for Inter. I mean, sorry, for River. So it was very interesting and very dramatic, and partially dramatic because there's a bunch of Italians walking around being like, bippity boppity, bippity boppity. Oh,
just because you have a mustache, Peter, doesn't mean you can speak Italian.
Yeah, but that is how it sounds. So,
by the way, I might have an answer on the scarf thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, tell us.
Barra Brava culture. Argentine fan culture, especially among the ultras groups known as Barras Bravas, emphasizes raw passion, singing, jumping, and waving flags over aesthetic accessories like scarves. Instead of scarves, fans show loyalty with shirts, flags, tattoos, or massive banners, or trapos. In fact, scarves might be seen as too tame or European for certain sections of hardcore fans.
I mean, they definitely handed out thousands of flags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the games were all super fun. I mean, I think the PSG game was the most fun Sounders-wise because that game was money in the bank, right? The other two, we felt like we could have maybe tied or won. And the PSG match was like, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah, just watch them play. It seemed like they played more freely in that one. I mean, they played hard in the other ones, and I was going to get to that later, I guess. But, like, I wasn't disappointed overall with the performances because we were definitely in over our hands.
I agree. Although I think knew who cost us the first game. We could have got out of there with a point.
Yeah, but you guys talked about that one.
Yeah, but also, you know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. The PSG game was not great. The possession was bad. They PSG dominated it as they should have.
That one graphic that we always look at how many times they enter, mm-hmm. and the one side was like 46 and one mm-hmm.
and ours was like 7.
No, it wasn't great, but
I just think the different style of lineup in that one. But
look what they did against Miami.
Oh, no. I mean, the reality, and let's not kid ourselves, PSG had to put out their first choice lineup against us because they weren't guaranteed advancement at that point.
Yeah, they had to win. Mm-hmm.
And so overall, I think that the tournament was a big success once the game started from the fan perspective. And from the Sounders player perspective, fuck FIFA. But yeah, it was definitely a good warm up for next year, and much better than the Confederations Cup ever could have been.
Yeah, although I do like the Confederations Cup in general because that was the one time the USA was ranked fourth in the world.
Yeah, right after the beating Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what do you think? What do you think this all did for like the club?
For Sounders,
experience wise, yeah.
Well, one, I think that it gave the club validation that they're on the right path with the talent they have on the team. I think it gave them a level of reward. For their success over the last few years. But I think it also gave the club evidence that this is not enough. And so the real question is going to be what lessons will be learned from this, and how will we go forward? What do you think, Cameron?
I mean, I think they definitely, when the Scuttlebutt Ultras episode comes out, this is something we talked about at length on there, so I won't go too far into it. But I think we saw them play much more intensely because they had to. And there's times where in MLS play, you can just turn off and it won't matter. And you can't do that against these teams. And I think we saw that translate into the Austin match, where they were much more intense than they would be usually in MLS play. And so I think they learned some lessons there. I think there was players that had a chance to shine. I mean, if you told me Christian Roldan was going to shine, I wouldn't have been surprised. But, you know, you would have wanted someone like Obed to shine. And Obed played really well, but he also hadn't been playing well up to it. So I don't think the hype was there going into it. You saw Alex have a couple tremendous matches. Mm-hmm. So I think you had a chance to get some of these players more known throughout the world. And that may not benefit them in terms, like, Christian's not going to go to Europe anymore, right? He's of the age where that won't.
No, but he might play himself back into the national team,
which would be nice. Although I don't think so because of his position, at center defensive mid, he is eighth or ninth in the, depth chart. So the likelihood of that happening, unless he moves back to right mid, is slim to none in my opinion. But, he should be there based on what we're seeing from the USA, where they need a leader like him. He could never play a minute and he would benefit the US national team.
I mean, that's exactly what his role in the last World Cup. He didn't play a minute and he benefited the national team in the World Cup.
Yeah.
He was one of the few players that didn't get any time.
Yeah, but he doesn't need it because of who he is and what he can do for the other players. He belongs there. I do think it upped the Sounders brand, even though we did not advance. The fact that we showed up and played against these teams in a way that the other MLS teams did not. I mean, Miami had a couple, but their group ended up not being as difficult as expected based on Porto just kind of shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Even though did they advance? They might have.
No, Benfica did. Benfica did.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the reality is, anyone who watches soccer regularly, who truly is being honest with themselves, recognizes that the Sounders losing three games doesn't have much to do with how they played given the group that they were in.
Yeah, right. Totally. And I think our one chance with points was in the first game. I think if we had played Botafogo in the third game, maybe we get points out of that.
Yeah.
Especially maybe. The way Botafogo played down the stretch. I mean, they no longer looked like a champion. They looked like the fourth place team in Brazil. And, I mean, they didn't show up in their match versus Palmeiras until 85th, 86th minute. Their defense was fine, but they didn't even have a decent shot on goal until the end of that match. And so, and this is a team that was so dangerous earlier in the tournament. And maybe that's, they have three players that are leaving. They're probably going to drop further down the table in Brazil because they just lost their three best players. But it'll be interesting to see. I think this tournament was a rousing success overall, and it's not even done. I mean, Man City getting knocked out, they were the odds-on favorite to win. Vegas had them as the first. So the fact that they're out now is huge. And I think it makes PSG the favorites moving forward.
I mean, maybe Bayern, but they haven't been particularly... You know,
didn't they lose to someone that third game day?
I'm not entirely sure at this point, but I think the reality is that we may not find an all European final. We may get that. Who knows?
We rarely had an all European final in this. I mean, we never had an all European final because it was usually a Brazilian team that was in there. But I mean, Brazil versus England often. But I think it's been an exciting tournament. And while I'm not watching every match, I'm definitely following every match and watching the highlights and keeping up on it.
Yeah, and right now we've got six of the final eight. And so Palmeiras will be playing Chelsea. Fluminense will be playing Al Hilal, so one non-European team is guaranteed to go into the Final Four. Then you have PSG and Bayern Munich. And then what's to be determined will be tomorrow, where Real Madrid will play Juventus and Dortmund will play Monterrey. So,
I usually would root against Monterrey, but this might be an instance. Although I don't
but I
dislike
like
Dortmund.
Dortmund. I like
Yeah, I
Dortmund,
like them,
so.
but they also have completely derailed Gio Reyna's career. Or maybe he has. Maybe he's a dick, and that's why he's not getting minutes. That wouldn't surprise me.
The evidence can go either way.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that we're seeing some good diversity within there, you know, so I'm very, very pleased with that. I'm very pleased with that. LAFC, they didn't have a great tournament.
First team out.
Yeah. But they did get a result in that final game, which was a dead rubber game where the result didn't matter. So they got some extra money there. Obviously, Miami got some big money for making the round of 16.
We
It's
got
hard not to feel a
nothing. Yeah, what
little
did we get?
jealous.
We got nothing.
We ain't got shit.
Nothing.
No, but I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay with how that's played out. I'm okay with how that's played out. It's definitely clear that
The only teams that advance got any of like a little bit of a buyout, a payout.
no, so how it worked was everyone got 9.8 million or whatever it was to start, or at least the CONCACAF teams
So
got
I
9.8
think we got
million.
more than the other two MLS teams based on the money we were told we got, and then the totals. Because there was 25 million paid out to the MLS, or 20, was it 25? Whatever it was, we had nine, we had more. They only had eight each, I think.
I don't think
Based
so.
on the numbers that we saw, that was the case. Maybe they reported wrong.
But the other side of that is that you got X amount of million for a draw, X amount of million for a win, X amount of million for advancing to the each stage of the tournament. So the payouts get bigger and bigger as you advance further. So Miami's going to be clearing north of 20 million. I did see a report today. I didn't see it in depth, but I did see a tweet or a yeet or a whatever Blue Skies version is called, where it sounds like there's been an agreement reached with players, with the Sounders players. I presume the MLSPA and and MLS, where they have bumped their payout.
Okay. Hope to hear more.
So we got 10 million.
No, that incorrect. Sounders got 9 million, meaning the payout to the players would grow.
Yeah, because the Sounders players were capped. All MLS teams, their players were capped at $1 million, no matter how much money was earned. And I believe that has been agreed to in principle, the adjustment of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else we got? We got any non-World Cup? Well, do you have any final thoughts on the Club World Cup? I feel like we're going to start moving away from that.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Glad to see PSG in person. Haven't been I saw them in person maybe 6 years ago in Eugene against Inter Milan of all teams. So I've now seen them in person twice. I think the last match I attended for PSG was probably December 2000. So good to be able to see them.
And that was probably an actual competitive match because that's when you're
Oh,
in Paris,
most
right?
definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And this was I mean, that's the thing is these matches were competitive. These were not treated like friendlies, even by the Europeans.
Yeah, I'm referring to your
But
Eugene
yeah,
match.
that was a friendly. That was that preseason ICC
I would
tournament
think so.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you missed out, we said last episode go. So if you missed out, I'm sorry, because it was such an
Apology
incredible
accepted.
experience. Yeah.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, I
We missed
mean,
out.
we did what we could. We did what we could. And yeah, had a great time. So, it'll be interesting to see how the pricing will work for the World Cup next year, but
Hopefully they learn some lessons. I'm doubtful, but let's
yeah.
hope so.
All right, we got some scuttlebutt either from Discord or just off the hot off the press.
I mean, here's the thing is MLS is playing. San Diego has won a couple games, including over Vancouver, and have moved themselves solidly into first place. They're playing during the club. I mean, a lot of these teams are playing, right? So a lot of the teams around us have stayed relatively static, but the Sounders now have some opportunities sitting in fifth place, point behind what, Portland maybe? Or we did beat
I was
Portland.
actually just talking about that with Nick before you came on. They have 30 points, we have 29.
Yep.
But
Which is crazy because they're clearly a better team.
if they lose their next match and we draw our next match, depending on how they lose it, we will be equal on points, points per game, games played, win, loss, tie, goals for, goals against, and goal differential.
Yep.
I think if they lose 2-0 and we draw to like 0-0 or some
But
other
we have
similar
two big
ratio.
matches versus opponents from the East, Columbus and Atlanta, and then we play Colorado. We play two other teams.
Well, Atlanta's not doing well.
No, but they're always a threat, and they always squeak into the playoffs. But it'll be interesting to see because we play Colorado. We play I don't have it in front of me right now, but team Austin was one of them. We play teams around us in the standings, teams we have to beat. So we at the end of this month when we're entering the Leagues Cup and we have to see damn Cruz Azul chant blue again.
Don't make me mute you. Don't make me mute you.
It's going to be so frustrating. I almost don't want to go watch that stupid team again. But we either could be in a prime position up in the top three, or we could have dropped out of the playoffs. So we'll see. I'm depending on what how we perform against Columbus. I don't think we need to win, but if we show up against Columbus, I'm thinking that we probably will be successful moving forward based on our experience in the Club World Cup. We need a
It's tough.
forward.
It's tough to not live and die over each individual game and to treat every game as a referendum on everything going forward. And we do that all too often. And so
Actually, we do the opposite. We had this discussion last time the three of us were here. We show time and time and time again the Sounders shitting the bed, and you're living one by one, but claiming you're not.
I don't think I don't think I follow.
The Sounders have shown that they cannot score in large groups, except for here and there.
Like
So,
they're consistent,
yeah,
they're being very
consistency.
consistent.
And so we're talking about our worries are about inconsistency. So you're saying what Aaron and I have been complaining about for months now.
Hey, they scored 2 goals in this last
They
match.
did. They did. I was curious if Jesus's goal was offsides because not when it was passed, but when Jesus kicked it, Danny was standing in the goal blocking the goalie. And so there's no way the goalie could have reacted. And so I don't know the rule on that though. That's an interesting thing. I don't know the rule. Maybe we have to ask Paul Cox since he's a ref. He knows that kind of stuff. But I was a little surprised it was not called offsides.
I mean, he
He certainly
it didn't
interfered with the keeper by being right in his sight line.
I guess I'd have to see it again from what I was recall. What I recall is he pretty much roofed that sucker
Sure.
like before from what, 3 yards out, 5 yards out. I don't think anyone could react in that time unless the goalkeeper.
I mean, he
I
may not,
don't even.
but does that matter? That's I don't know the
I
rules.
think that would be taken into account, but yeah, maybe you're right. Because they do, they definitely have made a call. I've seen calls like that before. Yeah, obstruction.
But let me tell you
Right.
that Danny Mazovsky goal, incredible, and definitely a product of him playing in the Club World Cup against players that are of higher caliber.
Yes. What was that breath, Nick?
I was rewatching the goal, and I was seeing what Cameron was talking about. But it brings a really interesting point.
I mean, I obviously think it should be a goal, but...
Because Danny's run is fine up until Jesus kicks it, because like Cameron says, is he's onside upon Paul's cross.
Yes.
But it completely resets once he, yeah, no. Cause actually taking another look at that, no, because Danny is literally off the field of play and inside the net.
He's already in the net by then. Okay. I wasn't sure how far off he was. But in the seconds, he definitely flashes through there, right? So that makes it hard to respond to.
But I think to your greater point, even if he's still in the field of play, it's a bang bang, and there's no, he's not in the, I don't think anyone's gonna ever call that one offside.
Yeah. Which I think should be the case. I also think
it's definitely the goal should be counted in the spirit of what the rule is, and
I mean,
and it definitely was.
Can you imagine poor dude gets that goal and they call it back?
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny in the first half was making some really good runs, was just putting himself in dangerous spots, and you could see the frustration on his face when
I was talking about Jesus.
Oh, I know, but it would have been Danny. It would have been Danny's responsibility for getting called back. Mm-hmm. So,
I guess they both have had a pretty big dry spell.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, Danny got his goal later, though, and Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't know his dry spell. I feel like to me, people started complaining again, but it's a little different because he's playing multiple different positions, right? His dry spell came when he was at a nine. Yeah. And then they put him either at center attacking mid and wing, and he starts scoring goals. And then they put him back at nine, and he doesn't score again. And then people are upset. It's like, well, clearly, why aren't we putting people in positions to succeed? And I know the answer to that, but I'm just saying the fans need to understand then, if you're putting someone in a position mm-hmm. that, and it's not, I'm not saying he can't play a number nine. He obviously can't. He can't play it either A, in our system, or B, with our either talent level or the way we pass the ball to him. And I don't know which it is, but
at the same time, let's just focus a little bit on the bigger picture, which is that he currently has 2 goals and 4 assists in league play. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty good. And I mean, I'm going to toot my own horn one more time on Danny Musovski. I said if he would get that first goal within, you know, before the third of the season mark, he'd be good for 5 to 10. He's currently at 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he's been
skeptical that he was going to come back and play well, because he hadn't been playing well leading into the Club World Cup.
Yeah.
He played well in the Club World Cup, and it lit a fire in him that it looks like he's going to continue to just roll and succeed.
And all both things can be true, is that he's lit a fire, he's been looking good, but he should not be counted on as our primary striker. Both things can be true.
Yeah.
You know.
I think I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Although I mean that the composure on his goal though, from I fully expected.
Yeah.
Based on his recent form. I mean,
oh, but that, no, that goal was incredible. I mean, the fact he created space, but he did not create a lot of space. No. And then just booted it in a way that, like, yeah, this is going in.
I thought the ball was going to get caught up under him when he was kind of moving off.
Yeah. But no, it was a fantastic goal.
I mean, this is what you want out of your backup striker. You know, it's Will Bruhn when the first few years. It's what we are hoping for when we signed Hébert. You know, we were kind of hoping for this. Obviously, it just didn't happen. But it's good to see this coming through. It's good to see this from Danny. And now that we got Jordan looking healthier and healthier, hopefully we can parlay that to Danny being a super sub and coming off the bench. And once again, like this Austin game, looking at what we had coming off the bench is just such a luxury when you're able to bring on Ryan Kent, Jordan Morris, Pedro de la Vega, Danny Leyva, João Paulo, all off the bench. That's, again, it's easy to forget how much depth we have as a team.
And we have our new star starting center back, Alex Roldan.
Right. That's actually, I wanted to get into that when we were talking about the game, and now we're talking about the game. Let's just talk about
the game.
Well, so let's take a break first. All you have right. your promo.
Yeah, listen to me. I'm going to say cool stuff that you should listen to and spend money on.
Corporate overlords.
Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Did you listen to me?
He was
should have.
Yeah, did you? You signed.
You had a chance to pause it and go give us money.
Go do it. Go do it.
Also, go give us 5 stars on wherever you're listening.
Not on Google anymore.
I know, that's sad. Mm. Google Podcast is dead.
I like the analytics from them.
Yeah, we're nice.
Yeah. So, speaking of analytics, stats, numbers, how many positions has Alex Roldan played in his career? Most recently, he was center back, and I think
for the Sounders.
Yeah,
like his pro career.
Sure, let's just say Sounders. How many do you think? What would be the number on that?
1, 2, 3, 4. At least 4. I would say probably 5.
Okay, I think the fact that one of them is keeper.
Yeah, I counted.
Makes that more impressive.
Keeper, right back, center back, right mid, and I mean, if we're gonna count right wing back, but technically, you could argue that's a different position. And I wonder if he played CDM at some point late in a match or something when we were trying to load the back of the box.
Well, yeah, considering that he's played in the attacking band for El Salvador, and also that we signed him to be an attacking midfielder. Yeah, he's probably played most of the positions.
Is that what he was signed as?
Uh-huh.
I remember him being more forward, but
well, keep in mind, after the first season, we didn't exercise his contract, and mm-hmm. he was without a team. Yeah. He busted his ass off in the off season. He showed up to training camp without guaranteed of a spot, earned his way back onto the team, and that was what, 2019. Feels about right. Just such a great story. I mean, the Roldan family is just fantastic. It's so good.
I mean, he played well enough that we let, money was another reason, but we let Leerdam go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we wanted Leerdam back. They just couldn't afford him.
How do you think he did at center back in that match, Austin?
I thought he did great.
Yeah, he seemed solid.
He didn't take a ton of chances. I did see one thing that was a really nice benefit to him being a center back is the man can pass.
Mm-hmm.
So
can Reagan. That's what stood out to me is that we have two center backs that can distribute the ball pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And
and dribble
side
the ball.
To side. And so he was 91% passing, 89 attempts. he was 9 for 12 on accurate long balls.
I think that's...
He had 11 passes into the final third. Wasn't dispossessed at all. Yeah, six
11,
appearances.
11 passes into the final third as a center back. Does that seem high?
Not for the Sounders, because remember those games where we were the most successful early on in the season is when we had Reagan and other center backs pushing up past the midline.
Yeah,
well, maybe,
yeah.
But Reagan had 6 passes into the final third.
Right, but I think Reagan probably was. I didn't look at it through this lens while they were playing, so I don't have the answer to that.
But he was probably the.
But I guess
at
it was
home.
Yeah, because he was more used to defending.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because I know there were times I did see Alex up almost at the top of the 18.
And some of that might have been by accident. He might have been like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Shouldn't be here. Sorry, Brian.
That could be true. But, yeah, I thought, and you know what? I got to say, I'm just going to say this right now. It's funny we're talking about Alex Roldan, given what I'm about to say. Kosta Rienzi is looking better and better every time I see him play.
I mean, I think that was my biggest revelation about this, is if Alex can slot in at center back, that gives Kosa more time on the field, and that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he had a couple rookie moments, but I don't think
it should be a one-off is what I'm saying. Yamar, for the amount of money he's making, I think I think this may be his last season, even though I think he has another year on
contract. I was just going to say, I don't know if he's too excited about Alex's performance out there.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about like not later this season. You're talking about at the end of the season.
But even now, if Yamar's not ready to go and he's going to need more breaks just based on his age.
But keep in mind, John Bell will be back because he was on red card suspension. So it wasn't an injury. It was just red card suspension. Knew who will be
back. And John Bell's been great. So I'm not mad at him. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I also do think that if Alex can step in and play at a higher level than Bell, then you put the best player there with gives you the best chance to win.
True. Now, with all that said, I will say all of this is to say that when we're saying, oh, they looked great, at least the way that I interpret it, when I say, oh, this person looks great, John Bell, Alex Roldan, I'm talking about for where they are in the depth chart. You know, if Yamar or Jackson Reagan had the exact same game, I'm grading on a different scale.
Interesting. I grade them all the same. I mean, to me, watching John Bell throughout this season, with the exception of the red card, which he shouldn't have gotten, it was not a red card. He's had maybe 2 rough games, and the rest he's shown that he's MLS quality starter.
For some teams.
I think he's better than Yamar right now. Yamar's not healthy. I'd rather have
a fair statement.
John Bell out there than a 3/4 Yamar.
But with all that said, we're talking about someone who's 4th, maybe even 5th on our center back depth chart, and we're happy with their performance. That's great. I mean that's great stuff. You know, because you got Reagan, you've got Yamar, you've got Nuhu, depending on the formation, you've got Kim Keehee.
That would be the best. Just leave them there.
But ultimately, this is great. The fact that we're talking about our 4th choice, 5th choice center backs, and we're very pleased with their performance and talking about how they could be starting.
Alex is a starting defender. So, I mean, it's not like he's been sitting on the bench watching and here's his shot and he played well.
True,
he's been on the field all season.
At the same time, I don't particularly want to test the limits to see how long he could be a center back there.
I mean, I'd say practice should be the one deciding that, though.
We don't know what's going on back there. But it does remind me of 2016 when Brad Evans started showing up as a center back and started getting some time as center back. And then after that, Gustav Svensson was dropping back into the center back position. And so not the first foray we've had into, you know, converting people into the center back position. Hell, even earlier this year, we had Josh Atencio starting in preseason as center back.
Funny. I think what stood out, stands out to me more about Alex, though, is like Brad Evans was, as he aged, was built as a center back too. He's, you know, 6'1", 6'2". Alex,
he's not that tall, is he?
Yeah, he's taller than me.
Yeah.
Really?
I think I was eye to eye with him when I saw him.
I thought he was like my height.
You're 6'1", 6'2".
I'm 6 foot, but yeah.
Okay. Well, either way.
He's 6'1", yeah, okay.
But Alex doesn't, you don't think of Alex having the stature of a typical center back, right?
No, that's so true.
It just looked.
Yeah. But what's really,
couldn't
what's really
be a right back anymore.
I'm very curious to see what happens if El Salvador can get their shit together, because he left the national team because they weren't getting paid and because of their fuckery. They're still in it for World Cup qualifying. So, you know, he may end up being the second Roldan to play in a World, or to go to the World Cup with his team.
And will certainly play.
Well, yeah, if
they made it. Now, actually, this brings me to a question, since I did mention Nuhu earlier. This goes back to the Club World Cup. Do you think Nuhu starts against PSG if it's not his birthday?
I didn't know it was his birthday.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason he started, because he didn't start the second game, and I don't know how you, in good confidence, put him on the field.
I would hope that that's not the decision, unless it's like we aren't going to be.
It was a meaningless game for us.
I mean, nothing.
Well, even if we won, we wouldn't advance.
It wasn't, but yes, realistically, it was an unreachable.
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. He started because Brian thought he was the best player for that moment. The reason I know that for sure is the fact that we did not see JP against Botafogo.
Yeah, that's true.
And Brian would have played, if that was the case, Brian would have been, to me, way more likely to play JP against Botafogo, even for a token appearance, versus
didn't even get a sub on at the end.
That's exactly what I mean. That's my evidence for no, that's not a thing.
Makes sense to me.
With that said, the Botafogo jerseys are so clean. They were, those are really nice. I'm not gonna lie.
What is our new jersey called?
The Salish Sea Kit.
Salish Sea Kit. I hadn't seen it in a while. I feel, and it looked good too. I'm liking that one.
I mean, I think we've only lost one game while wearing those. They're beautiful kits.
They truly are. They truly, truly are. So, 2-0 win against Austin. You know, it's interesting. I heard someone say this is a team that we were expected to beat. I don't know why we should be expected to beat them, other than it being at home, because their record was only slightly like one game off from us, right? Like, they had lost a game, we had tied.
And they had been on good form, but I mean, they only scored 15 goals.
Sure. But still, it was a must, not a must win, because it's still early in the season, but it was a morally must win for the Sounders based on everything. I mean, they had lost 5 games in a row. Granted, 3 of them were Club World Cup, but they had lost 5 games in a row. Mm-hmm. Or they'd been winless in 5 games, I guess I should say. I don't know if they lost that first one or they tied it prior to Vancouver. I can't remember. But it puts the Sounders back on a winning note, now heading into hosting Columbus on Sunday. What are you thinking about Columbus coming to town?
It's hat week.
Only Columbus cares about that.
It's hat week.
So,
who is that?
Tell the story.
Wow.
This goes way back.
Over a decade ago. So, way back in the day. Now, keep in mind, first off, Columbus wins MLS Cup. We come into the league. We stole Brad Evans. We stole Ziggy Schmidt. We had to pay Columbus. There were some potential tampering going on in order for us to get Ziggy Schmidt. So there
was, I think it was league tampering, though, and not us, ultimately.
So same as Dempsey.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking to your mic there, Nick.
Yeah, in the end, we took we took, well, Brad Evans at that time was not, was just an up and coming player, was a Kosa Rienzi type of player, you know, just up and coming, some promise. We got him. In those early seasons, the Aces, any club except for Seattle, kind of came out through Columbus.
People, really? I always heard it from LA people. People were mad that the Sounders came in and were immediately successful. In Chicago, people did that a lot too. Were immediately successful, and people were angry that we figured out how to win right away.
Well, not only that, but there was also kind of the Messi effect, where in 2009, nationwide, no one could stop talking about Seattle's crowds, because we were pulling in passion that wasn't seen on that level.
I mean, double any other team in the league.
And so people were kind of getting pissed off about it, understandably. I can understand that. It really took a hold in 2013 after the USA-Panama game here in Seattle, the game that ultimately led to Clint Dempsey coming to Seattle.
I didn't know. What role did that play with him coming to Seattle?
Dempsey and Eddie Johnson were walking down the streets and watching and seeing, like, every restaurant had soccer games on.
Yeah, I'd heard that before, but that played a role.
Yeah, I think it was the Seattle-Vancouver game, I believe. But so what ends up happening, and then of course the crowd in that game, that crowd for that Panama game was just
so amazing,
such a great crowd, and other. U.S. soccer was trying to recreate that in other cities for the World Cup qualifying cycle. So when it was USA Mexico in Columbus, the American Outlaws sent the Seattle Outlaws president at that time.
This is interesting because, to my knowledge, the Columbus-Seattle hate has nothing to do with American Outlaws. While this is a real thing that you're talking about, I'm interested to see why you're going this way, because I've never heard this from Columbus fans I know.
Well, I think all of this is the Seattle-Columbus. Columbus hates us for multiple reasons, and I think this is part of that, in my opinion. So 2013, the AO Seattle president, not me at that time. It was a couple predecessors before my term there.
Were you going to say rain?
I was going to say rain, but that was not
before my rain.
came out to Columbus. Columbus famously, in their supporters group in the Nordic for Columbus Crew games, don't use capos in the same way that we do. It's very controversial, and so Columbus fans were really righteously pissed that Seattle was trying to help organize support and basically AO through Seattle under the bus. And instead of saying, yeah, we invited him, we asked him to come, basically just let this turn into like a soccer sickos shit show, leading to the AO president in Seattle leaving AO completely and basically nuking the AO Seattle.
And made a statement group. That basically could have been true for a lot of other groups as well, which I thought was kind of funny. But
so somewhere in this frame of mind, during a rivalry week where Seattle was playing Columbus, Columbus supporters were talking about how much they hate Seattle, but they misspelled the tweet and left out the E. So they hat Seattle. And so we ran with that and basically made a whole bunch of hats with the Columbus Crew logo. But instead of saying Crew, it said genocide sucks, you know, because Christopher Columbus is a homicidal, genocidal, fascist asshole, etc. And basically just yet another reason, you know, just to have, you know, two supporter groups kind of at odds with each other. So those of us who have been through it a couple times will forever kind of call it Hat Week.
Well, we're going to call this episode Hat Week now.
Well, and it was real ridiculous. Just the things they would come up with are dumb, too, is uncreative nonsense.
Yeah, and that's not even to talk about the supporters lighting pyro in the bathroom and taking selfies with it, looking completely ridiculous. Just a few cell phones from Columbus supporters. It's just fun to pick on them, but also made it that much more infuriating when we lost to them in the 2020 MLS Cup.
Oh, see, I didn't care about that at all. What I cared about was
I did
coach.
Because Caleb Porter was
coach was the only thing I cared about. Yeah. Fuck that dude. Speaking of the Sounders, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that the Rave Gala is being held on Sunday, July 20th. Cocktail hour begins at 5 p.m. with seated dinner and live auction beginning at 6:30. And the one and only Elvis Costello is performing.
No shit.
I'm very excited to go. I can only go because Alliance Council gets discounted tickets because tickets are $1,000 each. This is, we knew it last year. We talked about it last year. This is a rich people auction for rich people. And I get why, because it allows Rave Foundation to do more good work in the community. Last year, they raised over $1 million. This year, I expect it to be much higher. It's going to be incredible. So
if you're a nonprofit, you want rich people at your auctions.
Right, right. Yeah. And so if you have money, I'm sure there's people out there that listen that have money and can go. I highly recommend checking out the Rave auction. It is, I mean, you've been quite a few times there, yep. Nicholas. Aaron, did you come with us that one year?
I went through the Champions.
In the car right beforehand.
Behind. Yeah. Beforehand.
With the Houston guys. But
that was 2022, like the week after we won the cup.
Yeah. So
that was in Fremont that year.
Yeah. Yeah. That and awesome. So this is it's a great experience. You know, we got to get our pictures taken with Schmetz and Garth and all sorts of former players and
photo with me and the trophies.
And the trophy.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Well, that one's great only because we were actually able to lift the trophy, which you're usually not allowed to do.
Yes.
Yep. So I've got a great photo of me, like, just trophy up in the air, just full ecstasy. Speaking of which, this week at the game, Kellen Rowe was doing meet and greets. Well, no, but he was doing the meet and greets, and he brought the jacket. So I put his jacket on.
The Bogey Boys
jacket, and so I'm like I'm only gonna put this on for like 20 seconds because it is hot.
I can imagine.
Yeah, Kellen's a cool dude. He actually just he befriended me on LinkedIn. We're now business connected.
Well, Kellen's been a sponsor for Pub League in the past. He's sponsored a few teams. He's
got his wine thing going.
So shout out to Vino FC.
I know Matt Look is a huge fan of his wine.
Yeah.
And goes to all those events. Speaking of, I heard a rumor, Nicholas.
Okay, wait. First off, I didn't know she was your sister.
My sister lives in Idaho. I heard a rumor that Nico and Roma were holding hands.
They were.
Outside the Sounder Stadium. Mm-hmm. Do we have to have a conversation with her about boys now?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so, but they were really cute together. They're really cute together. They were.
He was talking about it at Pub League.
Oh.
Which, this is our first show since I, for the second year in a row, my team, has won the championship. I do not know what it's like to be a loser. I am a champion through and through. And if I don't win this next season, it's clearly rigged.
Okay, so this is why Cameron was up for most fun to play with. Okay, good to know.
No, it was because I made weekly playlists since our theme was not a phase, an emo theme. Every week I made a different playlist to get our team through the week until the games.
Emos?
I don't know, because if my team was not a phase and I was going to do something weekly, It probably wasn't going to be
not a phase. That's
it's not a phase. I stopped as soon as the season was over. They don't get any more.
That's funny. That's a good name. Not a phase. Not a phase FC.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. AFC we went with.
But
Athletic Football
Association. AFC, AFC is the emo of the FCs.
So back to the Austin game. Why don't we talk about that a little bit?
And we moved on to Columbus. What are you talking about?
We moved on to Columbus. Yeah,
we finished Austin.
You lost your damn mind.
Yeah, I have. I have. We've been jumping all over the place. It's like this is the ADD podcast.
It's hat week. You literally just said it's hat week.
It's hat week, Nicholas.
You're the only one wearing a hat on this podcast.
Yeah, you're wearing a
Weezer
hat, which is incredible. In fact, now move your thumb. Do that symbol again. Now move your thumbs in a little bit. No. Yep. Okay. So I was at the Wu-Tang show instead of at the Sounders match.
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
Yeah, I did see the goals though, as I had it up on my phone at various times throughout the night. So I did get to see the goals, but and then of course rewatched it later.
Seattle but Columbus Sounders ain't nothing to fuck with.
That's right. Columbus is coming to town. Where do they sit? Do you have standings in front of you?
I do. Yeah. I do. So right now, Columbus is sitting in fourth in the Eastern Conference with 37 points.
They feel better than that, though.
Well, it's just that they're a very talented team. They're a very talented team, but they did. They are in a little bit of transition. Gazdag is up top usually, and of course they've got Diego Rossi. Still in the prime of his career. Darlington Nagbe somehow still is kicking it. Still kicking it there. They've got Evan Bush in goal. They're well coached. So
Nancy, I think best coach in the MLS, man.
Yeah. I still can't believe Montreal is so incompetent to let a gift horse like that leave.
Seriously.
So Columbus is 3 points out of the Supporters' Shield lead. They're sitting on 37 points. Philadelphia's got 40 right now. They're both even on 20 games played. We're sitting on 19 points with 29 points, or 29 points and 19 games. So we're currently in fifth in the West. You know, we just got to start making sure that we keep getting results.
Score two goals in this.
I'm not entirely sure two goals, that's going to help a lot, but I'm not sure in this particular game two goals is going to win it.
Might tie it, though. I think if we score two goals, we're probably going to get a point out of it. Maybe not, but...
Yeah, I don't see a 4-2. That's kind of an unusual result for Sounderland.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're going to have to score some goals here.
You think Jordan sees some time?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a minutes restriction he's going to be on, if at all. He'll have a week off between his last appearance.
They played on Saturday. This is on Sunday at 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
they have 33 goals on the season, which is 6 more than us. They've allowed in 23 goals, which is 3 less than or 2 less than us. So their goal differential is 7. And they sit 3 points behind first place Philly.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. This is a great test for the Sounders
to come out and show that they Club World Cup was really helpful and got them into a form where they can move forward. I'm just annoyed that Leagues Cup is going to come interrupt.
It's really tricky because Columbus has won their last 3 straight, but against Philly, who, as we've said, is the top of the league right now, Atlanta. And Vancouver. Now, don't get too excited about that Vancouver one because that was in the middle of the international break when, you know, they were that should have been a really great litmus test.
Although San Diego destroyed, or I guess they didn't destroy them, but they made them look foolish at times.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that we're playing through international breaks and we're not seeing Columbus versus Vancouver with both teams at full strength, and that's just a shame. It's just a shame.
Did give up 5 goals to Miami back on May 31st.
They did. They did.
Which was the Miami reawakening. Prior to that, Miami had been really struggling, and that is kind of what jump-started them into some success there.
Well, it's frustrating because this six-game run for them should be one of their toughest stretches of the year, and yet it just seems like they're passing the test. They had Nashville, Miami, Vancouver, Atlanta, Philly, and then us.
Yeah.
So, but fuck Columbus. So let's just focus on our stuff.
But fuck and, Columbus.
But fuck Columbus. Get the butter.
All right, explicit.
Bring out the GIMP.
God.
GIMP sleeping. Come on.
Guy right, in mask permanently.
Okay, so do we want to go over predictions or anything like that?
Yeah. Do you have our results there?
There we go.
Nicholas? It's okay.
I do not because I have been running ragged.
Yeah,
lately.
No. I mean, honestly.
Too busy with those, what, five matches, huh?
Here's the thing is six. Aaron, six. You were like, I've been working so hard. I don't think you understand what it is like to have to go to a soccer game every other day at noon. It is a lot of work, man. Let me tell you, I was tired. I kept having to get up early. I was walking 10,000 to 20,000 steps every single time. Roma has been beating the shit out of me at these matches. She's turned really violent. I don't know why. And that, seriously, she has. This has been a hard life. You're like, oh, I'm going to go to work. You get to go to work in San Diego, man. It's beautiful there.
Well, oh, yeah, technically.
Yeah, well. Even worse. You can hang out at Thomas Jefferson Law School then.
I do.
But we had a very difficult time having to watch soccer every other day for
world-class soccer.
World-class soccer.
With grass.
An no, amazing.
I had to get a VPN and pay DAZN.
Yeah, that's so
because
ridiculous.
I couldn't watch live.
I will say, my allergies did bother me when I sat behind the goal because of the grass pollen floating around in the air from the grass. So, yet another reason turf is better than grass.
For all the bubble people out there.
Yes, that's right. My
so you're saying you don't have a rubber allergy?
I do not, thankfully. Because I am single, so I need them.
Jesus. All right. No.
I did set him up. He took it. He ran with it. I can't be held responsible.
We gotta. How do we get Cameron's
can't
penis
be
out
held
of our
responsible.
Mind?
Da-da-da-da-da, her face. What's
no.
The song? Is
no.
It won't be held responsible.
Are okay, you trying need to go freshman verb
yes.
pipe?
Yes.
Cameron's like, it's got something about doing something on her face. I won't be held responsible. I don't really remember the lyrics, but
her face, the look on her face.
We need to end this.
Yeah, man. With the freshman by Verve Pipe or Verve? Which one's them?
No, Verve Pipe. Verve was Bittersweet Symphony and the very underrated Simple Man.
Other single that no one's ever heard except for Nicholas.
Oh. Happiness, more or less. Yo, that's good stuff. Good stuff, yeah.
Speaking of which, Nicholas, or perhaps all of our listeners, I just noticed that there are currently Groupons available making the Billy Idol and Joan Jett and the Blackheart show at Climate Pledge on September 20th only $24. I don't know how you pass up a chance to go see Billy Idol and Joan Jett for $24, dude. That's fucking amazing.
One, I've met Joan Jett. She is an absolute gem of a human being. She's great.
I have two, actually.
Two, really? Mm-hmm. I just would be remiss if I didn't say it. Simple Man was Lynyrd Skynyrd. I meant Lucky Man. It was going to drive me nuts. So Lucky Man, fantastic Lucky song by The Verb that I think is actually better than Bittersweet Symphony.
Hmm. Yeah, I met Joan Jett. She was staying at one of the hotel I was managing back in the day, and her alias was Anita Joint. First name Anita, last name Joint.
What if she still uses that and you just outed her?
This was 15 years ago, so you're the lawyer. I think I'm good.
I mean, you're good either way, and you don't work at that job. But
I mean, security ops. She should be changing that shit up.
Yep, that's true.
With that said, she needs a joint. So if you see Joan Jett, get that lady a joint.
Speaking of joints, what is your joint?
What?
I didn't finish. What is your joint score total for the upcoming Seattle versus Columbus match?
A joint score total?
5. Yeah.
I think it's going to be 5. Okay, how many goals do you think are going to be scored?
4.
Interesting. I've been doing the over a lot lately, and I've been wrong, so I'm going to go with 3.
I liked when you said 2-2. I think that's going to happen.
What are we, a ballet class?
Mm-hmm. Look at me,
don't
plie.
Don't be a unitard, man.
James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.